Amen. Believing long time way. Take your Bible, look with me in Genesis chapter 13, if you will. Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter number 13. And I want to preach to you tonight. Hopefully be a help to the church members that are here. And also to the preachers. And thank God for the opportunity, Brother Peoples, just let me come and preach. And thank the Lord for it. Thank the Lord for Brother Peoples and his testimony. He likes old-time religion too, amen? And so it's exciting. I think there's a generation. I made this statement the other day to preachers, but you know, I went back and looked online. I looked up online the largest churches in America. The 25 largest churches in America are all new evangelical, rock and roll, praise and worship, fix the lights, change, you know, do all the lighting stuff and grow the church. And and that's how they're growing churches today. And, you know, I know because I set some services like that recently that it doesn't do much for you. Amen. And it doesn't do much for you. It's all hype, and you know, there's no sustenance, substance in their Christianity. But my point is this: is that I went back and I've done a lot of just reading men of God and listening to their preaching. You go back in the late 70s and early 80s, and you listen to some of those old time preachers who built churches. And they grew churches. How they do it, they did it by soul winning and knocking doors and preaching the Word of God and praying and getting a hold of God. And the largest churches in the late 70s and early 80s were fundamental Baptist churches. And I could be wrong about this, Brother Peoples, but I just feel like there came a generation of preachers during that time that they prayed and got a hold of God and they wanted to do something great for God. And then came a generation of preachers who wasn't concerned about praying to get a hold of God to do something great for God. They became concerned about praying to become great men of God. And somehow in that transition, we lost building churches and we lost reaching people and became more about having a name and being somebody than just doing something for God. But I feel like today, there's a generation of preachers my age, I just feel like this, that they're not worried about a name for themselves. Yeah, they just want to go build a church. I'm excited about that.
Amen.
I have a lot of friends that are tired of all the politicking and all that stuff. Just want to go do something for God and build a church. And I'm excited about that. Are y'all? Amen.
Amen.
Take your Bible with me tonight. Genesis chapter 13. And I want to help the church tonight with this message and preachers. The Bible says, if you will, stand with me. Look at verse number 14. The Bible says, I just kind of give you the context, you know it. Abraham and Lot, their herds have grown and they're splitting. And Abraham says to Lot, he says, hey, if you want to go that direction, you go and I'll take this direction. If you want to go that direction, then go that way and I'll take this way. Lot chooses his place. And the Bible says in verse number 11, then Lot chose him all the plains of Jordan. And Lot journeyed the east and they separated themselves the one from the other. And Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan. And Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Verse number 14. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land that which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise and walk through the land in the length of it, in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. And then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Let's pray. God, I pray that you do help us tonight. Lord, I want to encourage the church tonight. God, I do pray that, Lord, that the church folk will understand that if the church is going to grow, the people have to have a vision to grow, not just the preacher. Lord, the church members, they have the desire to see souls saved. They have the desire to see buses running. They have the desire to see the community reached with the gospel. And God, I pray that you'd help us catch that tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to understand that if we're going to do anything for you, Lord, we've got to be able to see it. And God, we just praise you for what you do in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. He tells him, and if you will, but look there with me in chapter number 14 again. Or verse number 14, I'm sorry. He said, and the Lord said unto Abram after Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art. Where was that at, preacher? Well, I'll tell you where it was if you'll look with me in chapter 12. And look with me in verse number 1. The Bible says there, now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Look at verse number 4. And so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. Verse 1. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred. Verse number 4. And so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. You say in verse number 14 of chapter number 13, he said, Abraham, look from the place where thou art. Where is that? I'll tell you where it is. It's right in the middle of the will of God.
Amen.
He was right where God wanted him to be. Where was that? I have no idea. But I do know this. God said, Abram, I want you to go. Abram said, where do you want me to go? He said, just go. I'll show you. Just trust me. You know why a lot of the reasons why we never do anything for God? Because we can't pass step number 1. We can't just simply do what God's told us to do. Church member, you know what that means? That means just simply tithe when God tells you to tithe. That means give the missions when God tells you to give the missions. That means work a bus route or teach a Sunday school class. Say, preacher, I've never done that before. Well, you know what? There's a lot of people that never done it before, but God told them to do it, and they stepped out by faith and just went ahead and did it.
Amen.
It's called faith. He just stepped out. He just did. You know how I ended up in Jackson, Alabama, 600 miles from where I was raised at, because God said go. And I didn't know where I was going. I didn't have a clue what I was getting myself into. But I went and got God. I mean, listen, I'm glad I did. Praise God.
Amen.
And I say he was right where God had him be. And he takes Abram and he looks. He says, Abram, I want you to look northward. And I want you to look southward. And I want you to look eastward. Abram, I want you to look around. I want you to see all this. And Abram looks, and look what he says in verse number 14. He says, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Abram, look northward. Abram, look southward. Abram, look eastward. Look westward. It's all yours. Verse number 15. He says, for all this land, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. It's yours, Abram. Look at verse number 17. Arise and walk through the land, and the length of it, and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. You know what he said? He said, hey, look around. This is what I'm going to do for you. And I'll say to you tonight, church, listen to me. Hey, what does God want to do with the church right here in Cordova, Alabama? Hey, preacher, what does God want to do with your church where you're planted at right now? I'm not saying from some other place. I'm not saying. I think a lot of times in the ministry, we get to thinking about, well, if God could use me over there, or if God could use me over there, or maybe if God moved me, then I would maybe be able to do something for God. And that's not what God's looking for. He's looking for us just to stay put and do something for Him. Wonder that tonight, church member, I wonder tonight if there might be a bus worker. Hey, young people, you work the bus ministry over here. I wonder what God could do with you. If you could just get a vision instead of worrying about other things going on in life and say, God, would you just use me? Yeah. I wonder tonight, preacher, where you're at tonight. I wonder how far. Abraham, look out there. How far can you see, Abraham? Hey, preacher, what about it tonight? How far can you see? I mean, can you see families coming to your church? Can you see God building a church right there where you're planted in the middle of nowhere, maybe? I mean, nobody goes to Jackson, Alabama on accident. Amen. Nobody shows up in a town of 5,500 people and say, well, I was just passing through, thought I'd drop in. Nobody does that. I don't think they do it in Cordova either, brother. Not sure they do it in Wetumpka. But you are a metropolitan area compared to Jackson. Amen. How far can you see, preacher? How many boys and girls are there really in your area that are lost and going to hell?
That's right.
I like what Brother Fugit said. I've heard him say it many times. He said he was preaching for a pastor, and they were driving down the road, young preacher, and they just started a church and had just a few people going. And he said 20 or 30, I think is what the story was. And they were driving down the road, and he said, Brother Fugit, he said, at what point should we start a bus ministry? And Brother Fugit said, well, I'll tell you what, just pull over right here. He said there were some boys out there playing basketball in a park. And he said, are you asking me at what point do you go give the gospel to those kids over there and tell them how to get saved? At what point does somebody get those kids to church? Well, you got to get to a certain number before you start picking them up for church or inviting them to church. At what point?
Yeah.
How far can you see tonight, preacher? At what point do we start a youth ministry? Well, when we went to Jackson, Alabama, we had 15 people in the church service that first Sunday in Sunday school, and 20 in church. We started a youth man. I was the youth pastor right off the bat. Amen. Next Sunday, so we had youth activities. We didn't have any young people, like maybe one or two, but they need youth activities too, and they need a youth pastor, and they need somebody to invest in them. Hey, I don't have any regrets about that.
Amen.
How far can you see tonight, preacher? Listen, we're always looking about where God might use us or where God might put us somewhere. I tell you, let me give you the illustration and I'll move on real quick. But I got a phone call last year and about a church, a big city church up north in the state of Iowa. And the pastor was stepping down and he was retiring. He called me and asked me about coming up there. And I said, I told my wife about it. I said, she'll at least pray about it. She said, no. And I said, well, I said, it's a big church. She said, it doesn't matter. And I said, well, I'm going to pray about it. I said, I don't really feel like God wants me to move, but I said I should at least pray about it. I did, but I had no fun at it. I mean, to think about moving all the way up to Canada almost with the snow and ice, and it really was not a hard decision, to be honest with you. It wasn't a hard decision. But you know, as a pastor, sometimes when you're in a small place, sometimes you think, well, you know, if I was somewhere where there were more people, I might be able to build a bigger church. I mean, if I was somewhere where you could knock doors for weeks and weeks without ever knocking on the same door, we might be able to build a bigger church. I mean, sometimes as a pastor, you might think things like that. Brother Justin, and you know this, I think you were at the service last year at the GSA. And I didn't preach, but it happened at our church. Brother Bob Gray preached that night. Judge Roy Moore was there. They told me after church, one of our guys that does all the tech stuff told me, he said, preacher, we had 45,000 people watching the services live stream. I was like, wow, that's awesome. It was awesome. 45,000 people watching Brother Bob Gray preach the gospel.
Hey.
From a little place in the middle of nowhere.
Hey,
and then a little bit later, one of the guys called me. He said, preacher, I was wrong about that. He said there was over 600,000 people watching. And then I found out that all the local news stations in Mobile and Pensacola were advertising our church services for free. Did you know that? They were advertising and telling people that they were going to live stream them on their websites. And what God did, He said, I can use you how I want to, where I want to, when I want to.
That's good, right?
You know, we always try to do. We compare. We do what's not wise, don't we? We compare ourselves amongst ourselves. And we think, if I was. Now think, if I would have taken that church in Iowa, I would have never had a chance for God to use our church to preach the gospel to that many people. You know what we ought to do, preacher? We ought to quit comparing ourselves with ourselves.
Amen.
It's not wise. How far can you see tonight? I think there's probably some families in Jackson, Alabama that need to be saved.
Amen.
I think there might be some families where you are that might need to be saved.
Yes.
Church, there might be some bus kids right outside the doors of this church tonight. How far can you see, Sunday school teacher? You're here tonight and you have a Sunday school class and you don't ever go into the Sunday school class and pray over your seats. You never pray for your students. You never pray. Hey, listen, how far can you see? Say, well, my class isn't growing. Well, can I ask you a question? I mean, is there not some boys and girls that need the gospel, that somebody can take them the gospel? You say, well, it's just a Sunday school class, or it's just a bus ministry, or it's just junior church. I'm going to tell you, those kids need the gospel.
Amen.
Hollywood knows how important it is to reach the next generation. They pump millions billions and billions and billions of dollars into the kids' lives trying to reach them while they're young. Hey, why? Because they know if they can get them while they're little, they'll have them when they're old. Why? When in the world is God's church going to wake up and realize that?
Yeah.
How far can you see? I want to give you a couple of thoughts tonight. And we've already heard a great message. We've already got our guts full. And we're going to give you a couple of thoughts. We're going to get out of here. Look at your Bible with me. In verse number 1, I'm going to give you a couple of thoughts. Chapter number 13, verse number 1. The Bible says this, and Abram went up out of Egypt. Verse number 1, chapter 13, and Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. Hey, he went up out of Egypt. Why was he in Egypt, preacher? Well, he was in Egypt because he quit trusting God.
Yeah, right.
The Bible says in verse number 10, and there was a famine in the land. In chapter 12, and there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Hey, I'm going to say he was down in Egypt because he didn't trust God when he should. God never told him to go to Egypt.
Right.
Hey, but he went up out of Egypt. Hey, and can I say this to you tonight? Number one, Abraham could not have seen what he saw if he was still in Egypt. Hey, he could not have seen what he saw if he was still in Egypt. Young people, you'll never see a vision for God, and you'll never do anything for God if you stay in Egypt. Hey, preacher, can I say this to you tonight? We don't need to go back to Egypt whenever there's famine. Whenever souls aren't being saved and the church isn't growing, we don't have to return to Egypt to build a church. I mean, I'm watching preachers do it left and right. It doesn't even make sense to me. Why in the world we want to go to praise and rock music on the platform? Why do we think we need to dim the lights to get somebody to respond in an invitation time? Hey, let's just preach to God. We don't have to go to Egypt to see God do something in our churches. There's going to be famine sometimes.
Sure.
Hey, sometimes you're going to preach and it's not going to be the results that we want. Sometimes we're going to preach and people aren't going to get saved like we want. Hey, we'll preach. And by the way, I just want to say, I read a great message a couple months ago. Brother Mike Allison preached it. And it was in the Sword of the Lord. Brother Mike Allison preached it. And he was talking, it was an encouraging message. He was just talking about all the problems he had. That's great. Anybody else read that message? It was wonderful. I was like, man, that big preacher up there, that big church, and man, he has people that don't listen to him too, amen? That's always encouraging to me when I hear a big preacher have the same problems that I have. So I think, well, if they went to that church, maybe they'd do right. No, they wouldn't. You see, it's not our job. It's not our job to worry about the results.
Sure, it's good.
It's just our job to preach the gospel, right. Preach the book.
Amen. That's good, brother.
We don't have to go back to Egypt when there's a famine.
Right.
Hey, when that family busts up or that young person that you poured your heart into walks away from God, that's not time for us to change how God told us to build a church and change how God told us to preach. We don't make those changes just because the results are not what they're supposed to be. I tell you, there's a lot of preachers lose their vision because they're going to Egypt. I was reading a book last week by Clarence Sexton on the church. It's talking about worship. And he made this statement in this book, and I put it in our Sunday school lesson, but he said this. He said, a lot of churches are changing their worship services to worldly music and worldly worship to reach the world.
Yeah.
And our worship service is never about men. It's always about our worship to God.
Yeah, that's right.
And our churches are now using music that doesn't please God to worship God with, thinking it'll draw a crowd. That doesn't even make sense, does it?
I don't know.
Not at all. And I tell you, Abraham could not have seen what he saw if he was still in Egypt. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, you know the verse, come out from among them, be a separate, saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing. He says in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 15, love not the world, any of the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. There's supposed to be a difference, Christian.
Amen.
Preacher, there's supposed to be a difference. I know it's psychology. It sounds good. It sounds good that we open up. Hey, listen, we love everybody. I mean, we get criticized because we preach hard and we preach against sin and we preach a living right and living holy. But I'll tell you, nobody invests more money in running buses and missions and getting the gospel out and trying to reach families and change lives than we do. Hey, there's not another church, not another ministry in our community that spends as much money as we do, sending buses out every week, and on our gas bill is about $1,200 to $1,500 a month. Hey, listen, we pay insurance, we pay maintenance fees on buses to try to go pick up boys and girls. Hey, listen, yeah, we're going to preach against sin. We know what it does to their life.
Amen.
Amen.
Everybody loves those kids more than our churches do.
Amen.
We don't change our message because some liberal crowd says, oh, you're just always preaching on convictions, always preaching about living right. Well, that's because it's in the book.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
It's in the book.
Right.
And we love people. I had a preacher driving down the road one day, an evangelist with me. He said, Brother Webb, hey, y'all stay with me. Don't let me lose you on this.
Yeah.
But he said, Brother Webb, and we have strong convictions at our church. Most of you realize, you know that. I don't hammer them all the time. But he said, Brother Webb, what do you think about women wearing pants at church? I said, Brother Randy, I don't hit on that all the time. Brother Randy Sutherland. And I said, here's the truth, though. I said, you know where I stand on it. I said, but I never want a church service to go by where there's not a lady in a pair of pants in our church service.
Right.
That's
good.
He said, why are you saying that, Brother Webb? And I said, well, that tells me we're still reaching the world.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
He said, I agree 100% with you, brother. He said, now if I said that in my circles, I'd get crucified. So don't record this and play it anywhere because I'm going to get crucified. Amen. And we love people.
Right.
Right. Yes.
And everybody's not in the same place.
That's right. That's right.
That's right.
But the point is this, is that I'm not going to Egypt and I'm not changing to reach the world. When they come in the doors of the church house, I want the Holy Ghost of God to bring conviction through the Word of God and change them. I don't need a change in order to help them change. Abraham could not have seen what he saw if he was still in Egypt. Number two, Abraham could not have seen what he saw if he had not called on God. Look at your Bible, chapter number 13 with me. Look at verse number 3. The Bible says there, it says, and he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord God. Look at verse number 18. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. I'm saying he could not have seen what he saw had he not called on God. Hey, listen, he went to Egypt, and when he went down to Egypt during a famine time, he went there. Why? Because he didn't call on God. But listen, now here he's back out of Egypt, and he does the right thing. He calls on God. He gets a hold of God. And hey, he builds an altar. Can I tell you, preacher, listen to me. What we don't need to do is we don't need to flip pages in some new evangelical book on figuring out how to build a church. And I was sitting. Let me tell you this story. I'm going to try to hurry, but I was asked by one of our men. It's been a few years ago. And Brother Larry Jones, he owns a State Farm Insurance agency, and he owns a fish house there in Jackson. And he was some businessman's deal, dinner that he was hosting there at his restaurant. He said, preacher, it's pastor appreciation for all the businessmen in this group. I forget what the name of it was. And he said, could you come be the speaker at the meeting? I was like, I'll go as long as I'm not listening to somebody else speak. And he said, no, I promise you're going to be the only speaker. I said, sure, I'd love to do that. Anyway, it was pastor appreciation. So they're, you know, just doing their thing. But I sat down, my wife and I sat down on the corner. The table's kind of in a big horseshoe. I sat down next to the preacher, Brother Peebles, of the First United Methodist Church in Grove Hill. And we were just talking. I was being friendly. And he said this. He said, Brother Bowman, he said, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. He said, we've heard a lot about your church, and it's growing. And he said, and everybody talks about y'all's church down there in Jackson. And he said, what are y'all doing different that's causing y'all to grow? I don't know. I said, I don't know. And he said, well, what kind of music do you have? And I said, just traditional music. We sing from the hymn book, and you know, he said, what about praise and worship? I said, no, sir, we don't do that. I said, we just hymn book. Just hymn book, amen.
Yeah, that's right.
And there's something about having a hymn book and singing out of a hymn book,
isn't it? Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
And he said, so you don't have any kind of praise and worship? I said, no, sir. He said, and I said, we preach from the King James Bible. He said, you do? I said, yeah. He said, you don't use any other Bible? I said, just King James. He said, well, how do you reach people? I said, well, we go out and knock doors, and we have buses. He said, really? Here's what he told me, Brother Justin. He said, he just got back a few weeks before that from a big United Methodist Church Growth Conference in, I think he said, Kansas City, Missouri. He said, the largest United Methodist Church at this time, it's been a few years ago, I don't even know if it's the same case or not now. He said the largest United Methodist Church in the country of America at the time was running 10,000 people. He said the pastor who hosted the conference, Brother Kilpatrick, said he went to that city and started that church several years prior to. He said, at the same time, there were dozens of other churches starting in that same year. Here's what he did. He went around and he talked to a bunch of different pastors. They were all going the praise and worship way. And they were using different versions of the Bible. And he said what he decided to do as a United Methodist pastor. He was going to use a hymn book, preach out the King James Bible, and go door to door. United Methodist.
Wow.
At that time, built the largest Methodist. This is according to that Methodist preacher sitting next to me. I said, well, I guess it still works. Amen. It works for a Methodist just like it worked for a Baptist. And they were having people say.
Amen.
Can I tell you, Abraham could not have seen what he saw. You know what we need to do, preacher? We need to, instead of going to the ways of the world, we just need to get a hold of God.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
We just need to build an altar.
That's good.
Yeah. Church, that's what we got to do.
Amen, preacher.
You know what? I feel like our biggest failure, I know our biggest failure.
That's right.
Is we talk a lot about praying.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And we preach a lot about praying.
Sure.
Amen.
But we really don't make time to pray.
Right.
We really don't. Abraham could not have seen what he saw. Where do you get the vision to do something for God? You get it in a prayer closet.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You get it from just getting out in the woods with God and meditating and talking to the Lord.
Yeah.
He could not have seen what he saw had he not called on God. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, this I say, then walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Our young people heard me quote that verse so many times, preacher. I had a few preacher friends, my pastor and a couple preacher friends, and then a couple big time preachers that most of us know. It's like within a year and a half, just boom, one after another, fell into sin.
Yeah.
And I started getting nervous about that. But man, I know those men of God are closer to the Lord than I am. Mm. If they can fall, guess what? Yeah. And by the way, preacher.
That's right.
Amen.
And I struggled for a long time that year, for almost a year, Brother Justin, just worried that, man, I don't want to mess up. I came across that verse in Galatians 5:16.
Amen.
I already had it memorized. It just never, Brother Brock never jumped out at me. This I say, then walk in the Spirit. And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Yes.
Young people, it's not hard to live for God if you'll walk in the Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you'll walk with God and spend time with Him.
Hmm.
It's not hard to live for Him. As a matter of fact, it's a lot harder not to live for Him. Yeah. Abraham could not have seen what he saw. Look in your Bible with me. Chapter number 13. Verse number 8. He could not have seen what he saw if his eyes were still on self.
Mm-hmm.
You know why a lot of church folks never do anything for God? And by the way, you know how a lot of preachers never get a vision for God? But it's always about us.
Yeah.
We're worried about if somebody knows us. We're worried about if somebody offends us. We're worried about if somebody doesn't take care of us.
Yeah.
In Genesis chapter number 12, if you go over there and read about Abraham when he went down to Egypt. And look with me in chapter 12 real quick. The Bible says in verse number 11, it came to pass when he was come near to enter into Egypt that he said unto Sarai his wife, behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me. But they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. When he went down to Egypt, preacher, when he was down there in Egypt, he wasn't concerned about others. He was concerned about himself. He wasn't even concerned about his wife. He said, hey, just tell them you're my sister. They won't kill me if you'll do that. He wasn't concerned that they were going to rape her. He wasn't worried about her. He was worried about himself. But after he called on God,
Amen.
Well, it was where he's supposed to be. Chapter number 13, verse number 8. And Abram said to Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray. Listen to what he says now. This is Abram talking to Lot. He said, I pray thee from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will take the right. Or if thou wilt depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. He said, hey, Lot, if you want over there, you go over there. If you want over there, go over there, and I'll just take the other one. You know what? He wasn't worried about self anymore. He was worried about, hey, his brother. He was worried about his nephew. He was worried about Lot. I'm just simply saying, hey, if we'll ever get our eyes off of self and get them on God and say, God, what do you want with my life, Lord? Okay, God, you got me here. I'm not worried about things aren't going the way I want them to go. I'm not worried about the results aren't what I... The results, hey, listen, I've never known a preacher, or not many anyhow, that the results were ever what we wanted them to be.
Right.
But he got his eyes off self. Good. And God said, hey, now I can show you.
Yeah.
Hey, look northward. Look southward. Look eastward. See all that? See, God's got a lot more for the peoples, for our churches.
That's right.
We get our eyes off of self and get them on others.
Amen. Amen.
How far can you see? Church. Well, I just... Preacher. Well, this church, if they didn't... You see, it's never about, really... It's never really about the people, really, even in the church, I don't believe. I believe it's about the God of the church.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. It doesn't matter where God puts us. Abraham, look from where you're at. Where is that? He's right in the will of God. If you said, I know this is where God wants me.
Praise the Lord.
I know this is where He wants me. And then look around. What's God going to do with you?
That's good.
Amen. How far can you see tonight, preacher? You say, well, I can't. I just all these problems. No. You see, you're looking here instead of there.
Right.
Abraham could not have seen what he saw if he still had his eyes on self.
True.
I believe God wants to do a lot more with our churches than we let Him.
Absolutely.
Because we're not building an altar. A lot of times we're tempted to go back to Egypt. Sometimes, future, we just get our problems what we're dealing with instead of what God can do with them.
Yeah.
Father, we love you, God. Just thank you for your blessings. Lord, I thank you.